I want you to notice something here. You know, the preacher, he is in a precarious place. Isn't that right? He is in kind of a delicate sort of a situation. He is in such a position until people are constantly firing away at him. They're constantly shooting at him because his job is to preach against the world and all that the world stands for. And of course, when you preach against the world and all that the world stands for, well, just to begin with, you've got the news media's against you. You've got the great TV stations, the radio stations against you. You've got the great dignitaries, the senators, the powers of the office throughout the world against you, because you are tearing down their kingdom and you are preaching against what they are over and what they are trying to magnify. That was the thing that got Herod upset. They said, this Jesus that says he's going to come here and change the customs of the people. And they say this Jesus is coming here and he's going to do away with the powers of Herod and the powers of the different ruling authorities. And this Jesus is going to change our customs and our ways of life. So they said, let's crucify this Jesus. But see, that Jesus was preaching the gospel. He was a hole in his preacher. And he was preaching the gospel. And Jesus was preaching contrary to all the things that they were doing. Now see, I read to you here where it says that all of her dainties, all of her frankincense, all of her oil, her fine flour, her wheat, her chariots, her horses, which in our day is automobiles. Automobiles. In that day, they used chariot, horses, things like that to symbolize what was coming. And we speak of the automobiles and always say so many horsepower, you know. So then it speaks of that. All the purple, that is the clothing, the silk, the silver, the gold, the pearls like the earrings, and all the bracelets and everything. See, it mentions every bit of it. The fine wood like the carvings and different furnitures and all this kind of thing. It speaks of all that. And all the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. All the dainties, all of thee. You know, to go to college, to learn this, to be dainty and to be just so-so, you know, in the great gatherings and banquets, and all of that's gone away from him. See, and every bit of it is gone down. And it says here, and the sailors and the ships, the great powers, all of these things, said they stood off and they saw it burn up. They saw it burn up and they said, alas, alas, that great city wherein all of the merchants of the earth was made rich by her costliness and all of these great things. All of these great things, you know, that you could buy. And then it says here, a candle shall no more be seen in her. And it speaks of the bridegroom. The voice of the bridegroom said it won't be heard anymore. See, when we speak, the ministry speaks. It is not the minister that's speaking, but the Bible said it is the voice of the bridegroom that's speaking. But said his voice won't be heard in her anymore. And then the voice of the bride, when you sing like you do, that's the bride singing. The voice of the bride won't be heard in her anymore. God will rapture the church out. Take it all out. Said it won't be heard in her anymore. She's at her end. And when the rapture takes place, then God tears down Babylon and everything she stands for. Said because she is no more a church. She's no more a great church. Just a denominational machine. That's all that she is. A religious bunch of fanatics. They call us fanatics. But you know what a fanatic is? A fanatic is one that does what they're doing out there and try to mix darkness with light. Anybody's a fanatic to try to do that. See? And those people out there trying to mix darkness with light when the Bible forbids it. And so then he tells us here that all of those things will go down. All of their world will crumble. And he tells them here, said the sorceries, and he said, and in her was the blood of prophets and the blood of the saints. Now think about that, see, the Bible said the blood of the prophets were in her and the blood of the saints were in her. Martyrs, millions of people that have been killed, been slaughtered because of her wickedness. And the Bible said she'll go down, all of her costliness, everything that she stands for will go down. All that she's ever done will go down. Like the wise men came by, Herod and the great leaders over here, you know, and here they come by and they say, a child's going to be born. His name's going to be called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And they say, oh my, where's this going to be? See, they're disturbed. Said he's going to be a king. He's going to take over the world. And then they get disturbed and they say, my, we better get rid of a bunch of holy rollers. That's a bunch of holy rollers. Better get rid of them. Got to do away with them. Because they keep talking about Jesus is going to take over the world. While we're satisfied like we are, we feel like when God comes, that God's going to just join right in with what we're doing, and all of us together will go to a football game. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Jesus will be sitting on the front row, somebody would say. Oh, now. All the apostles sitting on the front row for the football game. Or go to Six Flags. Or somewhere. Have an entertainment. Is that right? Somebody said, don't be a radical, Brother Pike. I'm not being a radical. They're being a radical. I'm telling you the foolishness of their hearts. Just like it is. Tell it like it is. That's the kind of foolish minds that they've got out there. The Bible said their foolish mind being darkened. Darkened. They've let the lust of their flesh darken their foolish minds. And God called it a foolish mind. See, all of that's contrary to God. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that's of the world is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the world. And all that's in it shall burn and go down. But he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. Hallelujah. All of your titles, all of your great papers, all of your great certificates that different PhDs and whatever's give you, and all that you quibble over will be burned up like a trash can. See, just a ash heap. That's all. So then, as the song said, build your hopes on things that are eternal. Build your hopes on something that isn't going to pass away. Let's get in and do something for God. I made the statement the other day. Who will all of this belong to? You say, I've got a house. I've got some land. I've got some money. I've got all these things. That's good. If God's blessed you with that, that's fine. But now listen, who is it going to belong to? It's going to belong to the one that can live the longest. Isn't that right? And who can live the longest? Christ will outlive us all. Is that right? So then God's going to outlive everybody, the bankers, the presidents, the kings. So it's all going to belong to him. It belonged to him in the beginning. It's going to belong to him into the end. So then when we are made to realize that God is the only eternal life, that man is just here for a little spell and then passeth away, then we ought to realize that nothing belongs to us, that we're just stewards, and that God has placed us here to see what we'll do with it, in that he has given it into our hand for a little period of time. To see what we'll do with it so that we can honor God with our substance. And then over the hilltop, as we say, inherit it forever. Is that right? God made the world to be inherited. God made the world to be inhabited. God made the world for his people. And God's going to give the world to his people. But brothers and sisters, at this present time, I say again, Jesus said, love not the world. I've said this so many times to clear up the confusion. In the garden, when Adam and Eve was in the garden, that was a pure world. The Bible said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Isn't that right? He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to redeem it, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved the world. And somebody would say, well, if God loved the world, then why can't we love the world to be like Jesus? But I tell you again this morning, God so loved the world in its unadulterated condition. God so loved the world when he made it as the garden, the day that he placed Adam and Eve in it, when there was no sin, and there was no corruption, there was no wrong in it. That's the way God loved it. And God gave his son and spilt the blood of the Lord Jesus that he might redeem it and bring it back to that same beautiful, pure condition. That we all who love Jesus might, as Adam and Eve, enjoy it throughout eternity. But brothers and sisters, when it fell into its degraded condition, when everything went down like it did, God from that time on, he said, love not the world and neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is the pride of life and the lust of the flesh and the world and the lust thou passeth away. God doesn't want you to love the world in its present condition. It's under the curse. But you seek the kingdom of God, and God will give you what he wants you to have. He'll sanctify that which he adds to you. He'll sanctify what he wants you to have, and he'll give you what he wants you to have. For the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. So then, God doesn't want us to have part with the world. Look at what the scripture says here in the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation. It said, and these were the great men of the earth. Is that right? These were the great men of the earth. That's why they battle against us like they do. That's why they find fault with us like they do. Because the Bible said these were the great men of the earth. The great men, the presidents, the kings, the rulers, all of the great men of the world. That's why you have such a battle with youth. Youth is coming up. And you said, I've got a life to live. I know they've already lived their life. They can talk like that. But let me tell you something. There's people that live their youth for God. And they denied those things back there. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Not a bunch of folks that's done got old and decrepit and can't get around and telling you not to go out into the world because they can't go out in it. And besides that, there's some of them out there that's hair that's as white as snow with their pantsuit on and frolicking around out there. That isn't it. All right. So then you have a battle with you. But the Lord says to the youth, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. Do something for God. Hallelujah. All right. Now then, in the book of Revelation, it said, alas, alas, that great city has fallen. It's crumbled down. It's gone. It's crushed. John said, I beheld, and all of the cities of the world, I saw them crumble to the ground. I saw them crumble. The great, terrific earthquakes, the shocks, the impacts of the bombs, and all of these things that are taking place. We've got to realize that we are in a battle, like all this moving around. See, that's a battle against the spirit. If the president was up here speaking, they wouldn't dare do those things. Now, I know some of you press with necessity, you have to. But they wouldn't dare do it. But God is speaking. What difference does it make? Now, so let all the world keep silent, for God is in his temple. So then, it's like a man that I got here. He's trying to convince me that he believes what I'm saying. But he's crafty as a fox. But I was telling a brother this morning, I said, just wait down the road. He's never run into nothing like this. After a while, God will take him, slap off of his rockers. And he'll realize that he's run into something he's never run into in all of his life. It'll be different. Folks, this is different. This is God's business. I must be about my Father's business. All right, getting back to our thought now. Here is the 18th chapter of Revelation, and the Bible said, at last, the great city Babylon has fallen. She has become the habitation of every unclean spirit, every foul, every devil, every demon. One time, the churches out yonder in the world, those churches from the Methodist, the Baptist, the Pentecostal, the Catholic, all the way back. There was people that was in those churches that loved God. And I know there's still a few that's in there. But they've driven those people out that love God that stand for holiness. By calling them old fogies and everything else. Because they can't get them to mix with their modern way of life. Whereas it was one time a church, today it's a den of devils. A cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And they've run the people of God out. And got the people not wanting to leave their little home church, pleading and begging with them. Begging with the pastors and begging with the people that excommunicated them. Not realizing it was the divine hand of God to get them out before the fire came. And God's forcing them together. Like here at Bethlehem, there's Church of Christ preachers, there's our people, there's Catholic people here, there's Baptist people here, there's Pentecostal people here, all kinds of people are here. God's run them out of this, run them out of that, putting them all together, getting them together for that great day. Hallelujah. There's great men here with education. There's men here that don't have any education. There's men that's here that's had businesses and money and prestige. God's brought them out and put them together to get them ready for that rapture because something is taking place. So then Babylon the Great has fallen. She's fallen. What has happened to her? She has become the cage. She's not a church anymore, but she is a cage now. One time it was a church, but not anymore. It's a cage. Because God hath made her a cage, and her people are in prison of every unclean and hateful bird. We have people sometimes, they move away from little Bethlehem or they'll leave here. They'll come in and they'll piffle around among the people and gossip and talk and backbite and find fault and just frivolous things in and out saying, I don't understand. Demons and devils has got a hold of them. That's what they were sent here for. When the sons of God came to present themselves, the sons of Satan came also. And then they'll go away and they'll try to tear it all down. They'll try to tear it all down. It reminds me of the song of the great speckled bird. Said they long to find fault with her teaching, but it's really they find no mistake. All the other birds flocking around her, they keep shooting at her trying to find fault, but they don't find any mistakes. When it comes right down to it, they don't find any mistakes with her. And so then we see God is telling us something. Babylon the Great has fallen. What is it that has fallen? It's the world that's fallen. It's the system of the world that's fallen. All of those people that have made their belly their God, all of their labors for their belly because their belly craves it of them. All they can do is eat, drink, buy houses, land, get goods, look to the world, prestige, all of that kind of thing. Education, sports, frolic. In the last days, the Bible said there'd be lovers of self more than lovers of God, lovers of pleasure. Said they'd be eating and drinking. Every day they've got a little cafe or something. Eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Married one time and two times and 10 times. What does the preacher have to do? What is he supposed to do? Cry out against it. God has commanded him to cry out against it. But you know what they want to do? All of them that's mixed up in 3 or 4 or 5 different marriages, it's just got everything muddled up together. They want to count us a cult. And they want to take their little denomination league and they want to get this church and that church and all of them that's got money power together. And they want to overcome them with flattery like Antichrist will do. And they want to say, now we know that you're the church of God. And we know that you're the UPC. And we know that you're the Catholic. And we understand that you're the Baptist and the Methodist. And we want you all to come together now and be friends and work together. But these cults, we want to get rid of them. Them people that believe in Jesus' name. Somebody say, I love Jesus. That grinds at a fellow here just like he stuck a hot iron to him. Jesus' name, the true children of God. Said in there, hear from heaven. God will hear from heaven. And heal our land if they that are called by my name shall pray. Spoke of the denominations of the world and said they've got a name that they live, but they're dead. Twice dead and plucked up by the roots. Revelation said they got a name that they live, denominational names, registered. But that won't do it, brothers, sisters. See, they want to call the rest of it cults. Why is it? Because we're getting in their hair. That's what it is. The Bible said that they'll kill you and think they do God a service. They'll take them little cliques and they'll put them together and say, God's on our side, be charismatic, eat, drink, and be merry. For God is with you. That's the way old Nebuchadnezzar and them done it down there. That's the way they done it. Eat, drink, and be merry. Everything's all right. Our walls are impenetrable, Babylon said. But when God brought down the judgment, the Bible said he shook. His knees bumped together. His knees bumped together, and all of his joints come loose. Because he suddenly realized that God had seen his wicked doings and his evil. You think that God is altogether such one as you, but the Bible said, someday I'll meet you face to face as a bear that's been robbed of her cubs. And I'll let you know, I believe in holiness. Brother, you can't shirk holiness. You can't do a little something on the side. You can't enter the frolics of the world. This way is a death route. A death route. You kill out the old man every day. Every day, killed all the day long for Christ's sake. You've either got to choose the flesh and the lust of the flesh and go the way of the flesh, or you've got to choose God and kill out that old man. You've got to do it. There can't be a resurrection unless there's a death. You've got to deny yourself. And the Bible said, where I am, there shall you be also. And I don't mean some Jim Jones thing where you get in the slop bucket like he was in. Somebody pardon my expression. I said, get in the slop bucket like he was in the slop holes. And some of his people was in there with him and knew better and ought to got out of it. I made a statement the other night when I preached. So degraded and so bad that I dare not even relate some of the things that was in the book that they brought. Tore the thing up and threw it in the garbage. Not that kind of death route where you take a gun and blow your brains out. That's what happens to you when you're in the world like Jim Jones and the others. But brothers and sisters, I'm talking about a death route where you deny yourself daily and bring yourself under subjection to Christ, to conform to the Word of God, and to go His way and to do the thing that Christ has commanded you to do, to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Christ, which is our reasonable service. I believe with all of my heart that that's the way it ought to be. I made this statement the other night when they point their finger and call this a cult. You can't find where Jim Jones's associates was holiness preachers. You can't find where his associates was God people. His associates was dignitaries in Washington. Great men of the earth. The Bible said great men. His associates were the great men of the earth. He didn't have any letters from little Bethlehem holding him up in the eyes of the people, but he did from Washington. Why don't they examine the cults? That's what held him up out there. We didn't. No more than we are holding up the Chinese leader that came over here. They're doing it in Washington, but we'll get the blame for it. Something go wrong, we get the blame. I'm telling you like it is, folks. You know, you see a family once in a while and some spoiled, I won't say a brat, that ain't the proper word. Some spoiled son or daughter gets all the goodies and all the blessings, always lying and cheating and swindling and causing some other child in the family to get all the blame. Everything good, it goes to her or him. Everything bad, it goes to the scapegoat. That's the way they do God's people. Everything bad, they finally work it around in their evil connivance until they turn the guns on God's people. When they're the ones that done the evil. Like Moses told him down there in Egypt when he went down there, they jumped on one of his brothers over there, and Moses went over and tried to reason with him. Said, why do you beat my Hebrew brother? Why do you do him like that? Said, he's working all he can, doing all that he knows to do. You beat him and kick him around. Said, when the fault's in your own hands, in your own life. That's the way it is. So then the Bible said, Babylon the Great is fallen. She's fallen. She's become the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. I say this again, children of God. When you put a woman on miniskirts and put her in slacks, and you put her out there in a bathing suit, and you put men in form-fitting clothes and put him in shorts and bathing suits, and you let them run up and down the road and in the stores and out and everywhere and give them dope and give them whiskey and build them pool rooms and build them place to frolic in swimming pools and every tennis courts and everything else, and you close down the city to let some parade come in with a bunch of naked women and men, you legalize whiskey and all the other things of the earth. And you put up movies that's supposed to be for adults. And chuckle and say the kiddies can come in on the side. Publish magazines as filthy and let them be on the newsstand. Why, it takes a crazy person to think there could be any decency in the earth under a condition like that. I wrote to one of the senators when we were over in Mississippi. I said, how in the world can you people up there let such filth go on the way it's going on? He wrote back and said, Brother Pike, I'm in agreement with you. Said, I put a petition before Congress, but said they kick it out, they won't have anything to do with it. When me and Betty was up there sitting in Congress, says, making a joke over some fat turkey laying around in there. All of them laughing and going on like a bunch of kids. And they are the ones that rule over us. They don't hardly know their right hand from the left. And no wonder they're in the mess that they're in. Like one of them said down here in Del Rio, Texas. We're down there at the radio station. A boy there that worked. I overheard him talking with his sister. He didn't mean for me to hear him. Worked in Washington and run the elevator. I heard him make the statement. Said, my, what a mess that is up yonder. He said, those leaders up there in Washington coming up and down that elevator. Said, I hear them talking. And so they'll go out and play golf. And when time comes to go back to the office, say, man, I could care less about that office. I hate to go back to that thing up there. And going on and talking about it in a degraded way. That's what's wrong, children of God. But you and I pay their salaries. And then when a minister tries to get a dollar to do anything to reach the lost, somebody's got to open his dirty, filthy mouth against it. Anybody's got Satan in their mouth's got a dirty, filthy mouth. Bible said they're unclean. Now, said out of the mouth of the false prophet came forth the frogs. Is that right? Three unclean spirits. A dirty mouth. Used to not as a kid, if we said anything that wasn't just right, they'd wash our mouth out with soap. Said, you got a dirty mouth. Well, that's the only way grandma didn't even know to do it. But I tell you what, my grandpa had a better method. He didn't work on the mouth, but when he got through, I'll tell you what, he could sure help you to say the right things. That's what we need to do. Jesus took the whip and turned over the table, the money changers. He drove them out. Folks, we need to get this bunch of money changers out of the house of God. We're not trying to see if we can reach the dentist and the doctor and the lawyer and the movie stars and all these kind of things. We're trying to reach lost souls for God. I could care less, as the world says, about movie stars and dignitaries and all them kind of things. I don't care about people like that. I'd like to reach them for God as far as their soul and see them converted. The Bible said, pray for them, and I pray for them. They need help. They need your support. They need your consideration. They need your love. They need my consideration. And some of you are here at Bethlehem running around, running your mouth all the time. Got to gossip. Got to tear down. Got to have something new to say. Got to find out something so you can run and tell somebody else. Boy, the Lord's going to tear your hide up one of these days. Brother Red used to say, God's going to really work on your case. Now, all right, let me say a few more words and I'll close. Babylon is fallen. Babylon the Great is gone. She's fallen down. She's the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Folks, come out of the world. Get away from the world. Get away from the world. Don't stay around the world. Get away from the world. Don't try to mix darkness with light. Don't listen to the rotten evil talk of your sons and daughters and son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws and mothers and granddaddies and whatever it is. Don't listen to it. Get away from it. Get away from sucking on a weed and sucking on a bottle, whiskey and dope and everything else. Get away from that kind of thing. Be a real man. Be a real woman. Get away from trying to put on form-fitting clothes and use no clothes under it so everybody can see that rotten evil flesh of yours, corruptible flesh, Paul called it. Covered up. Nobody don't want to look at it but the devil. Let's get right with God. Let's do something for God. Here in America, we're eating till our bellies stick out. Here we eat until we're about three times as big as we ought to be. Always eating and people starving to death out yonder for just a bite of food, and we're big gluttons here. Eat and drink. It's all we do. From one ice cream parlor to another, from one hamburger to another. Lounging around on the bed so lazy we can't do nothing. I'm telling you like it is. People being eat up with disease because they don't have any compassion, any concern. People starving out there. It's no wonder that America's in the condition she's in. Brothers and sisters, if she don't get up off of her bed of laziness, she's going to rot. Her belly will rotten out. The Old Testament, when a woman sinned against a husband, the high priest brought her before the Urim Thummim. And he gave her some water to drink. It was bitter water. If that woman was a virtuous woman, the Bible said that water went through her body and it didn't even affect her. But if she wasn't a virtuous woman, the Bible said her very thighs would rot and everybody would see the stink and know that she was no good. That's the way it is today. You might not understand it, but you remember Jacob, the hollow of the thigh and the wrestling with the angels. I wish we had time to go at it this morning. But that bitter water, Satan's passing through you. But it doesn't affect us in love, God. Hallelujah. Because the virtuous woman's prize is far beyond that of rubies. But it's rotten in you. You're corrupt and rotten. You're standing before God, you and Thunum. And God's trying to tell you something, beloved friend. You need to listen. God isn't going to let you by with those evils. I want you to stand with me because I ain't going to get through. I just have to stop. God isn't going to let you by. He's trying to reason with you, trying to talk with you. Quit trying to mix the world with Christianity. It won't mix. It won't mix. Leave it alone. Just be God's and that's all. Just be holy and that's all. Be clean and that's all. Oh, somebody say, well, I'll get a little bit on the side. I'll make it. I'll get by. No, you won't. No, you won't. As I live before God, as I breathe, you won't get by. It'll meet you before you die. And it'll meet you at the judgment. As I live, you'll pay for it. It'll be a heartache and a suffering that you'd give anything in the world if you'd listen. But you think because you're you, it's going to be different. But I tell you, I don't care if you're Methodist, I don't care if you're Catholic, I don't care if you're a Bethlehemite, whatever you are, you peace, whatever you are, you be Church of God, a Pentecostal, doesn't make any difference. Catholic, a Presbyterian, a Methodist. But God said, what I say to one, I say to all of you, he said, unless you repent, ye shall all perish. He came over there to Jesus and talked about them that the tower fell upon. Talked about them that Pilate took, mixed their blood with their sacrifice. They said, oh, what awful men. Look what a horrible thing happened to them. Jesus said, let me tell you something. He said, don't you think that these men were sinners above all sinners? I say unto you, lest you repent, all of you shall likewise perish. It might be a different way, but he said, you'll perish. And he said, well, Brother Pike, you just get too excited. I can't help it. The more I talk about it, the more excited I get. Because I see the evil, perverted, warped up minds of them that are out yonder that's trying to make the church extinct and don't realize in their foolishness that they're killing themselves. When they cut Jesus off there at Calvary, the Jews in their foolishness killed their own nation. He was the head of the Jews. And they went into darkness and died. And the foolishness of the dignitaries of Washington and different people, they're closing in to try to kill out the church. Don't realize they're killing the life. The day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the brimstone came. They don't realize that they're taking their own life and driving their own life out from among them. You move the salt and the meat will spoil. And the Bible said, you're the salt of the earth. God's fixing to rapture you out of this earth and rain the fine brimstone down, for he said, they shall be salted with fire. Okay, I want you to pray for me. I get a little beside myself, if you just bear with me. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because
He lives. I hold my head up high because He lives. I have no sorrow because He lives within my heart. I'll never die. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you love Jesus? Let's lift our hands up and love Him. While they play on the organ, let's love Jesus. Father of heaven, we love You. Hallelujah. We love You. And we thank You for every beautiful tree. Father, for every lovely lake. Dear God, for every beautiful stream that flows over the rocks. For every dazzling star that's hanging yonder in the galaxies. And Father, we love You for every person, Lord, that walks upon the face of this earth. We love You for it. But dear God, there's one thing that we know, that while the world as yet is in its condition, Lord, of depravedness, that we cannot mess with it. But someday, some glorious day, Father, some beautiful day, Lord, just beyond the hilltops of heaven, some beautiful hour, oh God, we'll stand there. And then, dear God, all of the sins of life will be gone. Everything, Jesus, will be taken away that's unlike You. And then, Lord, all of us will stand together. Mothers and daddies, sons and daughters, loved ones, little darling babies that's been snatched from the mother's arms by death. Father, all of us will be there. And death will have been defeated. There'll be no more heartaches. And there'll be no more sorrows. Because You will have wiped away all tears from our eyes. Having led us to the fountain of living waters. Lord, in the heat of the day shall fall upon us no more. For we'll follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. Into the shady green pastures. Of those everlasting and ever-reaching fields. That have no boundaries, Jesus. What a day and what an hour, what a time it would be, Father, when we all have the opportunity to love and to be loved and to do what we know is right. There'll be no suppression. There'll be no weariness. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that You'll hear our prayer this morning. Heal the people that are here. Oh God, heal the sick. Loose those that are in bondage. Father, do something for our people. Father, bless them and supply their needs. I thank You for the lovely weather, Jesus. Continue to bless us. And Lord, wherever we go and whatever we do, bless us and help us, Jesus. Lord, lest we fall by the wayside, for we know that it's by Your strength. It's by Your strength. And God, as the song has said, without You, we can't do anything, Jesus. Lord, we'd fail without You. But we ask in Jesus' name, that You would help us in Jesus' name. Let's sing that little chorus, can we? Without Him, I could do nothing. Oh, without Him, I would but fail. And without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Can you sing it with me? Lift your hands. Oh, it's Jesus. Oh, sweet Jesus. Won't you hear Him today? Oh, don't turn Him my way. It's Jesus, sweet Jesus. Without Him, how lost I would be. Make your way down here for just a minute, will you? For without Jesus, I can do nothing. Sing it with me. Oh, without Jesus, I would but fail. For without Jesus, I would be drifting like a shield without a sail. Can you sing it with me? Oh, it's Jesus. Oh, sweet Jesus.